And so I don't know whether it'll work.
I'm also interested in...
they'll figure that out quick.
I'm also interested in this dumbass deal. I mean, this is the only thing I want. I want my money, however much money left coming to me, probably like $500, right? And I want it to get picked up for a second run. But second run, you gotta sell a lot of books for second run. But the girl on fucking Good Morning America, and the first day her book went second run.
I like to check in for my reservation.
Okay, Nate.
Poonam Desai.
Poonam. All right, great. Here you are. So welcome to Shared Plate.
Thank you.
Here, diners are seated with someone they don't know. Are you okay with that?
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
That sounds okay.
I think it'll be fun.
Okay.
Great. Follow me. I'll show you to your table.
One.
Here you go.
Second one, baby, get on.
Thank you.
And your guest should be arriving very shortly.
Okay.
Enjoy.
For us. Until they sell those books, they ain't going to sell no more. We'll say there's no possible way you're going to sell 10,000 in the first week. That's right. All right. What? You know why I feel like the book's going to sell a lot? It's the right time for the book. People are paying more attention to migration. And I want to do a book tour. You know what I'm saying? Right. Talking about NPR, it's like I'm good on NPR. Yeah, that's what I want. 197, Wendy Williams. Sonia?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I guess you are Albert.
You bet.
All right, excellent. You're right on time.
Okay.
So welcome to Shared Plate.
Thank you.
Here, diners are seated with someone they don't know. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Excellent. That's what we wanted to hear.
Okay.
Okay, so follow me. I'll show you to your table. Your guest is already here.
All right, thank you.
Excellent. Your guest is here. This is Poonam.
Hello.
Albert. I'll leave you two to get acquainted.
All right. Alan Matheny.
Poonam.
Poonam, good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get in here. This will be interesting.
Yes, I did not know this when I made a reservation.
I didn't either. It's all kind of a big adventure, I suppose.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, the interview and all that stuff that we did, it was interesting. Where are you headed?
So I'm headed to San Jose. It's one of my good friend's weddings.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. So I'm just literally there for the weekend, and then I come right back.
You live here?
I'm originally from California, but I've been living in New York City for, 8 years.
Yeah, our son lives in Soho, and he's been here since 2011.
Oh, he does. I love Soho.
Yeah, and he's doing very well, so we're real happy. We come and visit him, several times a year.
Oh, that's so nice.
He's got a girlfriend, so we enjoy seeing her, too. And she's from California originally and grew up in the Carson City, Lake Tahoe area.
Okay, yeah.
So are they bringing it?
And then she moved to New York, and she's a fitness trainer, and my son runs a fitness center there, so that's
really
how they met. Yeah,
oh, that's
so it's kind of neat.
And, okay.
Yeah, what do you do?
I am an ER doctor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a challenge.
It's very exciting. It's always something new, so yeah, and it's in New York City, in Queens, actually. Uh-huh. So.
Somebody was like, "Yo, how do you feel about the
tax?" That's nice.
Like,
hello.
Like, hey there. You know why it don't affect me? I don't get the tax credit for school loans. No.
That's a refill.
I said the
There you go.
All right.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Here at Shared Plate, we don't have menus.
Okay.
So instead, we'll be mixing the culinary traditions of each table to make something brand new, just for you.
All right.
So today, my one question for you is, what's your culinary background?
Coming up.
My culinary background.
Like where you're from.
Okay, so I'm born and raised in California, but my parents are of Indian origin. So Monday through Thursday, I grew up eating only Indian food.
Okay.
And then I was allowed to explore Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay, that's great. Okay, yeah. So put that in there. And you?
Well, I'm from East Tennessee, in mountain state, in the mountain part of the state, and we grew up with a lot of fresh vegetables around, and so I'm a big salad guy.
Okay.
And
good to know.
I'm not a vegetarian, but I I can get by.
All right.
But I do eat meat and fish and things. But
okay. Would you say Southern?
Yeah, not slow cooked though.
Okay.
I'm not the slow cooked kind. The soul food kind doesn't interest me. It's more kind of farm to table type.
All right. Stuff.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right, guys. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. Well, cheers.
Yeah. Cheers. It's a new experience.
Mm-hmm. So we come here to see him, and we've gotten to know Soho really well, which is really a fun place, and it's changing so fast. I mean, when he lives in Nolita, which is the part where in his gym is on Mulberry Street, which is the main spine of Little Italy, and it goes on then into Chinatown. It's right on the northern edge of Little Italy, and I love that area. And it's become when he first started there, it was a little seedy, and now it's picked up to the point where it's like boutique shops and all this, tons of money there now. And so so every time we come back, there's a new building that's been built or gutted and renovated, so we've gotten to really like it. And there's a lot of great restaurants there too, we have a lot of fun eating. My wife's a foodie, and she's a good cook too. Yeah, she's a good cook too. So it's interesting. So where did you go to medical school?
I went to medical school in California,
uh-huh.
So Southern California,
mm-hmm.
Western.
Okay.
It was an osteopathic medical school.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up in New York to train for residency, and then just stayed here.
Yeah, my cardiologist is a OB. I guess they call it OD, D-O?
D-O.
D-O,
yeah.
Yes. OD, doesn't sound right. So it actually is kind of, it's neat. We've got a couple of friends whose kids have gone through medical school.
And
it's a challenge, man. It's hard.
I think it is. In my 20s, I tell people that in my 20s, I work so hard. But now in my 30s, I get to do everything I ever wanted to do. Yeah, I was just
That's
telling somebody that yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, everything I ever wanted to do, I'm doing now. And there's no pressure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the nice part about emergency room doctor. You kind of know when you're working.
Exactly.
We have very close friends across the street, whose daughter just got married, by the way. And they're both doctors. One's an anesthesiologist and the other's a surgeon.
Oh.
And they've done a great job of raising their kids because they're really engaged parents, even though they're both really very high-pressure guys, But they're really nice, very sociable. So the daughter got married, and she lives in London.
Oh.
And so she married a Brit.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm just going to grab this pack over here and move it to the side
sure.
So it doesn't get in anybody's way.
Thank you. Suddenly they had the wedding in Gainesville, Florida. Yeah, that's where we live.
And
it's a small college town, big college, small town. And the funny thing is, 50 Brits came over. 50 people from Britain. Because they had a very wide social network, I guess. Mm. He's a marketing guy, and she works as a... I don't know exactly what I think she's a chef, pastry chef or something like that. And so it was just a blast to have all these people there in little old Gainesville, And the mother and father are just really creative people. I mean, they I don't know how they sleep. They live twice as hard as I do. I mean, in terms of the things they can accomplish. Because they're both chairs of their department. And in anesthesiologists, there's 300 people in that department. You know, 300 faculty and students and staff. And so that's the wife. The husband is the chair of orthopedic surgery, which is, that's no small business. And so they have that. And then they created this incredible wedding. You'd have thought Disney put it together. You know, it was that good. and it was just beautiful. So we had a good time there. And right after the day after that was over, we flew up to New York to
he said he's farm. He's like a farm table guy.
Our son and his girlfriend, and he came to the wedding.
Oh, you know, really?
So we saw him like 2 days, and then all of a sudden he's gone back, and then we go up 2 days later, and then we see him again. So we got a double dose, which is fun. So that's how I ended up going through the airport, and that's how they did it. They contacted me and said, "You're interested in this?" And I thought, "Well, why not?"
Yeah, why not? So,
so that's how that happened. What do you like sports or exercise?
Yes, so I definitely love working out. Mm-hmm. I try to do it daily. I think it gives me a dose of energy to do everything else I do during my day. Mm-hmm. So I love starting my day working out. So it's either the gym, Pilates, yoga, whatever. Yeah.
Good. Well, that's good.
Whatever I fancy that day, so yeah.
Right. Well, my son does the, it's an individual training. They have a space. And he actually leases, it doesn't lease out, but he has trainers who will use that space. They don't work for him, but they pay him a fee. And then he has his own kind of group of trainers that take people on too. So it's kind of a combination of things like that. He and the partner that they opened the business together with, they met while they were working at
Eco.
Oh, wow.
This is your crispy tofu.
Wow. How nice.
Enjoy. Oh, here's our chef.
Yeah, I'm going to take it. I'm going to view. How are you today?
Good.
I'm JJ.
I'm Albert. Good to see you.
I'm Poonam.
Pleasure. So they told me a little bit about both of you.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I know that you both love vegetables.
Right.
Yeah.
You both are about farm to table,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Based on where you're from in India,
yeah.
Based where you're from in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And right now it's like really hot. We keep hearing about hot fried chicken from Nashville. So I did some hot fried tofu, black fried okra rice. There's some pineapples and tamarind in there, a little bit of tomato jam, and a sunny up egg. Just mix your egg together, and this should bring you guys
bring
really
it all
together.
In, huh?
So please enjoy. Bon
all
appetit.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah. So I'm vegetarian, so
you are? Well, that's good. Works out okay.
And I love spicy food, so.
Yeah, but they do the major cut.
That's funny that you had the freedom on the weekends, you know.
Good.
I like that. To experiment.
Yeah, they showed me on the camp, the full route. They wanted me like to kneel. I hope I kneeled in the center.
It's shift work.
He was not a southern guy.
So it
made him very happy that I was like, oh, yeah, you bought the vegetables.
Days off or days off to myself, too.
I always want to see their reaction.
Mm. Very good.
That's very good.
Yeah. What time, you know, the next time?
Do you eat eggs, too, or not?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a problem. One plate thing?
No, yeah, I do. I do. Cakes and desserts, bakery items.
For backup?
Well, I do the whole.
Difficulty with the audio.
Janie does all the food preparation except
for
the meat.
So you want to do it again?
Yeah,
and I'm the meat guy, so I go out and have a grill. You know.
I just need to fry one more. Give me 4 minutes.
A whole bunch of meat at once.
I need to fry one more. The audio
doesn't make any sense to cook one hamburger.
Perfect.
And so we cook. You know, I'll cook a steak.
But
a bunch
I think they wanted the wow. Because they both were like, wow.
Well, we like to get organic grass-fed beef, you know, and all that stuff. Because that's really important. That is very important. Healthy meat
good.
Isn't bad for you. The factory meat is terrible for you.
Whatever you can get healthy. Mm. Whatever helps.
This is good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice spices.
Mm-hmm.
Last night we ate at our son took us to a small plates restaurant. You know, that's all the thing now.
We have the
East
rice.
Village.
We have tofu that will slice.
Fish cheeks, which is a great name. And it's Thai, but it's all in small plates. We get like 7 plates and you only pass one.
That's the next one?
It was fun. It was such a small table.
This one's a little tricky because it's the steamed bun.
And we're gonna eat because they kept passing plates. You know, every time you get a bite, you know.
Right, but if he does it like we just did this time, and they can cook cold, we can cook just close so it's hot.
New York City has very, I guess just nature of the city. Very small restaurants, small tables. You always feel very cramped no matter where you go. But the food is amazing.
It is good.
I used to eat. I actually didn't even understand food, I think, when I lived in California. I would eat my home food that my parents would make, you know, Monday through Thursday, and whatever school lunch was that was vegetarian. And on the weekends, it would be, you know, Sizzler or Taco Bell or whatever was fast food that was available for vegetarians. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to New York City, and there's just so many options, much good food.
Well, it's just a great place to go, you know. Mm-hmm. I love it. A lot of energy. The restaurants are loud. That's the only thing. You can't hear anything in the restaurant. You can't have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Or really one. I mean, you can, but you have to shout.
Exactly. And it depends. It depends on the restaurant. Depends on the place. But most are very loud.
How is it?
Good.
Good to know that. So thank you so much for being so relaxed about this. Great.
Well,
you guys are awesome.
I don't know how relaxed I am, but okay.
Oh, she's doing great, aren't you?
So this is what it's all about, the kind of cats out of the bag. It's about kind of introducing people at the airport and kind of eating together.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's fun, right? And hopefully
we'll be able to figure something out. It is. You want to buy it?
No, I'm good. Thank you. I was wondering if you could maybe talk a little bit about food that you love. I was enjoying the restaurant conversation, but it'd be kind of interesting to hear a little bit about, because I know you both are very good to you. And also, obviously, what this is about, it's about one of the things I'm fascinated with having you do this today is that, like, it doesn't matter where you are from in the world, what culture, what background, what country, like, food kind of unites people. This is how people sit down, bread, and talk. And I think that's the kind of, as I'm realizing about this process, that's kind of the message. So I think if you guys would just talk about food, what it might mean to you, what it might mean to your families, and then also about that. I think that'd be a lovely conversation. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Well, that's actually what I was getting ready to do. I was going to talk about food, but so my son is a trainer. You know, he has an exercise physiology degree, but he's also a registered dietitian. He took a food science and human nutrition second major, and so he's a registered dietitian. And he developed some protein supplements, and so he's really into food. He actually came to New York to be a chef.
And, really?
Yeah, I knew that wasn't going to be a right job for him. So he was going to work during the day in a training facility and then go to chef school at night. But he quickly realized that he really enjoyed the work in the training facility.
Yeah.
But he still focuses on food a lot. And so my wife is also very, very careful about organic, you know, local and all that. And what I like about New York is that's the way it is there. You know, you go to restaurants and they brag about the where they're sourcing their food from and they, you know, grass-fed beef, free-range chicken.
So yeah, you know, New York definitely has lots of different types of foods you can find.
Mm-hmm.
Thai food, Indian food, different types of Indian food.
Right.
And there's something for everybody. Mm-hmm. So whether you're vegetarian, pescatarian, vegan, there's really something for everybody.
No question.
So, but my love for food actually grew in New York City. So I grew up with a lot of spicy food and obviously vegetarian food. My parents were very big on things being healthy. A lot of vegetables, obviously, in our diet, along with rice and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
But here in New York, I was able to explore all of that, vegetables, wheat, spices, and different, you know, types of of food, whether it being Thai food, Sri Lankan food. So I think New York City and traveling the world gave me a taste of a lot of different types of food with the same ingredients that I grew up with.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where did you travel?
A lot. Mm-hmm. So the last 3 years, I kind of made it my mission to explore as many cities as I could. Mm-hmm. Countries is difficult because I don't get an entire month off, but if I have a few days to a week or 2 weeks off, I try to travel to different places. So just in the past year, I went to Cape Town, I went to Nairobi.
Wow.
I went to Colombo in Sri Lanka.
Goodness.
India.
You really did get around.
Yeah, so I definitely try to do a lot of cities. And when I get there, I have a huge dietary restriction, which is being vegetarian.
Oh yeah, right.
But I've actually had no difficulty in finding good food around the world.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. It's actually been very fascinating that all the countries, all these cities are able to cater to vegetarians and make tasty food.
Exactly.
With flavor.
You know, we found that when we used to run an exchange program in the Netherlands, we'd go there, and of course, the Netherlands was such a big colonial power. Mm-hmm. Then all the colonies, you know, the people migrated in, so and the cuisine in the Netherlands is rather dull, you know. But now that there's all the nationalities are there, the cuisine is fantastic. Same thing in England, in London, and so you know, England used to be famous for dull food, and now it's like a center of everything for food. And what we try and always focus on in Gainesville is just getting the, you know, we there used to be a food co-op there, and we were members of that, and that lasted years, but it finally perished, you know. So there's a great local store there. We can get every conceivable kind of food. And it caters to, I mean, you know, because the universities, there's a big, you know, the town is probably 100 and some thousand, but the university is 50,000, you know, and so, and of course it draws people from all over the world, and this store has just continually adapted to this ever-growing clientele. So it serves the black population, so there's a lot of soul food options there, and then it serves the Asian population, which is, of course, isn't one population, it's like 25, and so there's, you know, all different. We walk in the store and it's very crowded. It's old, it's not like a supermarket at all, but it really acts that way because it serves, you can go in there and get everything you need. And it's all crowded, and so you're in there with all these people, it feels like the United Nations, you know, right there. And everybody's, you know, happy to be there, they talk to each other, and it's
the food court concept.
Exactly.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to check in on your meal. How's it going?
Doing good. Very good, too.
Good.
It's crispy.
So the fusion works? Actually, yeah.
It's really, oh, yeah. It's terrific.
Great. I love hearing that. All right. Well, enjoy.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Actually, one of my most favorite things about traveling, and something I look very much forward to, is the food in every city that I travel to, or every country that I travel to. So I was recently in London. It's funny that you mentioned England. And I was just amazed by all the food, whether it was Italian. I went to a Sri Lankan place, an Indian place, and even their malls had amazing food. Like going to Harrods or Selfridges. You know, I look forward to going to their bakery or going to their shop or picking up something there that I could enjoy. But food is definitely one of my deciding factors when I travel. But when I get to this country, am I going to be able to enjoy the food? And luckily, every country I've been to has been amazing. So,
yeah, it's funny how when I was in London when I was 10 years old. And this was before, you know, things had changed. And so all you ever had there was a burger chain called Wimpy's, and then fish and chips.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Wimpy's?
Yeah, I remember.
And then, of course,
you're doing great. I just was wondering if before you guys finish up with food, if you might talk about the dish for me a little bit.
Okay.
Kind of like a little bit about what you think of it. Is it working? In fact, it's kind of because, well, as Chef JJ said, it's like what... it's designed sort of on both your heritages.
Right.
Kind of both those things. You remember how, you know, when our casting guys got in touch with you,
sure,
about food, you like, yeah, vegetarianism, a little bit of your family background, a little bit of your family background. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could talk about the dish, say things you might like about it, if you think fusion is successful.
Do you remember what he told us? It was fried tofu with...
Fried tofu with...
This kind of rice, it's a certain kind of rice, it's called like a... future rice, I can't remember what it's called. I mean, I've seen it before, but it's good. I really like it. And the spices are just right, you know, they're not too hot, not too, not mm-hmm. too, it's enough spice. Well, we'll see, I guess.
It is hot tofu served with tamarind fried rice and okra.
Tamarind fried rice.
Yeah, tamarind
yeah.
fried
yeah.
rice.
Tamarind. That's what it is.
Fried rice with okra.
With okra.
Got
okay,
it.
Give me 1 second.
All right.
Okay. Can we talk about this dish? It's very amazing.
I
can actually taste the different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm loving the spice in here. My favorite vegetable is actually okra.
Love okra.
Yeah, so this is perfect.
I've got a good recipe for, simple recipe for okra. But this, I like how the egg kind of ties it all together, and that red sauce is really good. It's just the right heat, you know, and it's just a very nice flavor, and it's kind of offset by the stability of the tofu. The tofu is kind of a nice base, you know, kind of.
Well. The tofu gives it the protein, and I'm loving the balance between spicy and tamarind. So tamarind's sweet, so sweet and spicy is making it delicious. I actually grew up with a lot of tamarind in my mom's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
We make this tamarind chutney, and we put it on all our spicy food, so this actually works out very well. It brings me back home.
Well, yeah, my wife's big on chutney. She loves curries of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the fact that there's so many different kinds. I mean, there's almost infinite, and they're all great. I mean, and the spices in them are really good for you too.
Mm-hmm.
But this is nice.
It's very flavorful.
Yeah, and it's not too heavy.
No, not at all.
I like a light lunch. You know it. And it looks like a lot of food, but it goes down well.
Especially because, to me, tofu doesn't really have much of a taste.
No.
And they've fried it in a way with the tamarind and the spices to give it a lot of flavor.
Right. It's hard to get it to pick up flavors, so the crust does a great job of that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I just want to talk about the experience in general. Like, how has this been really odd? Sitting, sort of like introducing you guys.
Okay.
About the experience, about what it's been like meeting each other and sort of getting started.
Okay.
Got it.
Well, I didn't know what to expect coming in here, and he said, well, you're going to be sitting with somebody, and so I thought, well, that's okay, you know, and I was a professor for 35 years, so meeting people was not a problem.
Yeah.
And I assume you're working in the ER, you meet everybody, whether they like it or not, right?
Exactly, yeah, I get to meet all types of people all day long, so I wasn't very nervous about the experience, but I was looking forward to it.
Me too.
To see how I was going to be surprised by this experience. But it's actually a great concept.
Because
you have people who are traveling, who have either a like for travel, or they're traveling for work, and you put them together over
a meal.
Over a meal.
Right.
Which is a great way to connect and talk. And
that's the best way to have a conversation, really. Because otherwise you run out of things to say. You know, and it's nice to have some, you know, a reason to sit down with somebody and share a meal. And it's good for you. They say it's good for you to eat with somebody else rather than just, I'm a fast eater, and so if I'm talking, I slow down a bit.
Yeah, exactly. In our family, it's pretty big to sit down and eat together and ask everybody questions, especially because I come from an Indian family. So when we have huge get-togethers, all the get-togethers are based on food.
Yep.
So one person cooks or a bunch of people cook, and we all come together because of food, and it gives us a reason to connect, see each other again. So I think to bring this back into today's society, to have food be a reason to connect is a great concept.
It sure is. And we need that. We need, you know, there's too many things pulling people apart nowadays. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, food, everybody needs food.
And it's a great way for two strangers to mm-hmm. meet and to know that the person who's sitting next to you or walking next to you mm-hmm. is also somebody with ideas, passions. So this is a great way for people to connect.
Well, absolutely. Well, I think it's a great idea. And the other thing that's really important is when you go to the airport, you don't think usually about good food.
Never.
Much less company. You know, all you're thinking about is, I'm going to make my flight on time.
All right, cool.
And so if you have a place to go, we can eat a good, healthy meal.
Okay.
And then, you know, have a good conversation where it's nice and quiet. And there's not somebody smoking or something like that.
That's funny that you said that because I travel often.
Ready, good to go?
Probably once or twice a month I go to an airport and take a flight. And now I've made it a thing to get delivery to my apartment for what I'm going to eat at the airport.
Oh, nice.
So you said you would get this delivered from the airport to your apartment?
Yeah, No. I normally, when I go for a flight, when I get to the airport, what I've recently been doing is I get food delivered to my apartment right before I leave because I don't want to eat at the airport because it's usually not healthy or not tasty. And just last
week. I feel you.
Yeah, just I'm last week, you. I was in San Francisco and I was like on, you know, an app trying to get Burmese food delivered to the airport so I didn't have to eat the airport food.
That's pretty cool.
So this brought you to that moment?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, this is great if I could have this here.
Well, yeah, you don't have to
worry.
That's a
checkbox.
Absolutely.
You don't have to worry about how I'm going to eat healthy and well when I get to the airport.
I mean, that's my big thing is I hate eating unhealthy food. I just hate it. You know, I don't like heavy, you know, heavily processed. Just what you get at typical airports, you know. Right. And this is the...
Delicious?
Yes, it
is. And you know where, I'm the biggest thing, like knowing where all your food kind of comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I know where the rice grains are from. I know where the tomato jam came from, where my spices are from. So I feel like that's like a really big connection for me when I'm cooking. And
yeah.
I'm happy that you're able to enjoy that on the plate.
Yep.
Definitely. And we're going to be sitting for the next few hours or many hours. So to have a good meal before you get on the flight, I think is super important.
Well, that's for me, that's a win. If I can bring you from like a... You guys were on like a 10 before. It feels like I brought you to a 20 now, which is really good.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
excited.
Good.
Well, thank you for enjoying and have a safe flight today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's funny. I was going to tell you the okra recipe. It's so simple because you just get good fresh okra and always get mm-hmm. small. You know, don't get big ones because they're tender. Mm-hmm. Chop them
give
about
me
a,
that
you know,
sound bite.
3/8 of an inch, inch, you know, and then that releases sort of a...
I just wanted to, before the other finishing your meal, and obviously the experience can begin to come to an end, I'll be speaking to you afterwards. But I just wanted to, I wanted to sort of get a little bit of smile.
Three lobster rolls, right?
And I'd like to cue this gentleman up for you about his bow tie.
Okay.
I love your stories about that. Maybe you could show Punya how to tie the tie.
I can do that.
I think that'd be really good fun.
That'd well,
so should I ask him a question about the bow tie?
Yeah, why don't you cue up and say, okay, I've got to ask him, so what's the tie here for? Something like that might be quite fun.
Okay.
Something like that, and then maybe you could show your tie. I mean, you could even try it. You could even give it a go.
Oh, my. Cool.
Okay. I would, that'd
so
be messy.
I've done three ways. I've kneeled.
All right.
So, your bow tie. Do you normally wear a bow tie to the airport? I'm in like super casual clothing, so.
Well, sometimes I do. So it just happened to be, you know, that came from a meeting. But
the tables are really low.
When I was a kid, my best friend's father was an engineer, and he always wore bow ties because he was a draft. He was drafting, you know, and a straight tie would get in his way.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved him like my dad. You know, like my father died when I was pretty
young. I'm gonna make some extra lobster rolls.
So
the
he was like
buns,
a second father
so
to me. And so when
we'll bring some up this time
my
around.
Friend and I, okay, we were best no friends growing up, started wearing ties. We kind of wore ties for him. And then the more I thought about it, I said, like, you know, ties are crazy. You don't make any sense. You could actually strangle yourself if you're not careful.
So
I thought bow ties kind of tweak the tradition in a humorous way, so you can kind of be rebelling against it while, but nobody can tell you, well, you don't wear a tie, you know, And you can say, oh, yes, I'm wearing a tie, but it's not the tie you're
wearing. That sounds like she said, I want that.
And then
she
when I started
like,
teaching,
you know, you come to the airport and you don't want to eat the food, but this food I want to eat. I'm like, please give me that.
Guest lecture.
Put that on this little blurb, whatever.
And so I did wear a tie that day. And the lecture canceled at the last minute. So I had to go to my own lecture. And the students really paid their attention. I thought, you know, they care. If you come in, you know, showing that you're serious, then they take it seriously. So, and then I was wearing a combination of different ties, you know, straight ties and bow ties. And every time I wore a bow tie, they liked it even better. And then as time went on, whenever I'd write a lecture, I'd always do it right before class. So I was running to class. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't wear the bow tie until I started teaching. So I often would come into the class without the tie on. It would be in my pocket or something. And so I would say, oh, and they'd all like, where's your tie? Where's your tie? And I'd say, oh, okay, I'll put it on. And so I did. So I'll show you how it
Oh, wow. I thought it was a clip-on.
Oh, heck no. That's heresy. So you just put it on like this, and you pull it right about there. Let's see if you can do it. Call her up. Okay, about like that.
Okay.
Right over.
Half knot, you know.
Like that. And then just put it just like it's going to look, you know.
Okay.
And so if you have a pattern bow tie, you can look and see which side's going to be on the front. And so that, you know, if you want a certain pattern to fit, and then you grab it with your finger there, you know, in the loop, and then your thumb here, and just push it through.
You're an expert.
And then voila, there it is. And it pops right into place. And the students just, they're fascinated. Because it's like watching somebody do a magic trick.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it looks
yeah.
like just a funny looking piece of cloth, and all of a sudden it turns into a butterfly, you know?
And you did it without a mirror, and it looks perfect.
I got to the point where I couldn't do it in front of a mirror because I was so used to doing it in front of the
students. Oh, yeah, I can see.
And when I finally.
Well, it looks great.
I used to do it for. We ran the freshman orientation program at a parent session. There'd be 600 parents in the auditorium. And I would come out and tie my bow tie for them too, and they loved it. I mean,
so it's like your intro piece, right?
Yeah, it was my signature.
Yeah, right before you give a lecture. Okay.
The students used to say, the last half of my career at UF, I was an associate dean, and I ran the academic advising center. And so when students would get in trouble,
you up for giving it a go? There was something really cute, and the way you were just saying, maybe you could, maybe Penanka could have a go at it.
I could try.
Yeah,
if you don't mind.
Do it myself?
Yeah, I think it'd just be really fun if that's okay.
Okay.
You want me to tie it on?
Well, almost like just give a go, like have a go at see.
So I'll take it and
yeah,
put it on myself.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, and then it'll probably go wrong, but it'll be really sort of, it'll be a really sweet little moment.
Okay, so cool. You can ask if I want to try it.
Okay. So anyway, here's what it looks like. You know, and you can adjust it to any length.
Okay.
And so, you want to try it?
Okay. I never
it is
tried
a paisley.
To put on
it is a paisley,
a bow
you know.
Tie, and I don't see myself trying to wear a bow tie anytime in the near future, but okay.
All right. Now, one side longer than the other, the side that you're going to tie with is this one. This is the side that's going to be on the front. And so, no, that's going to be shorter, yeah, because you're going around and around with this one. Okay, so now just do a half knot with...
So that's like right. This?
Other way. Yeah, use this. Do this, the longer size.
Oh my gosh.
No, you're on. Here, hold on. Okay, now that side.
Okay, so this.
So tie, use that one to tie.
Okay,
sure.
Okay.
And then go around.
I see what's happening here.
And pass it through like that. Yeah, now you're there. Now pull it out, like, other way. Turn, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Go ahead.
And then.
Well, go. You gotta get it tight.
Oh, okay.
Now,
okay.
Okay. Now.
Oh my gosh, you can get it too tight too.
No,
okay.
You don't
okay.
do that. Okay. Now put the side you want on the front, which is this side.
Okay.
Turn it like it's gonna be on the front with a little saddle in the middle. Kind of. See that? Yeah. See the little. Now, no. Over the top. Now with that one. There you go.
Okay.
And just pass it. No.
Oh jeez.
Go right over the. Here. Like this. This
requires
now,
a lot of.
Now pull it down. Pull that one that you're holding down like that.
Oh, and then pass it through this.
Well,
okay.
Kind of. Yeah, that's sort of it. Not quite.
I don't know.
All right. Well, good try though.
If I would ever be able to put this on myself, I think it'd take 30 to 40 tries before
I remember
I
the
could
first
get
time I did
straight.
It. I was about 10 years old.
Oh, really?
And my biceps completely cramped up.
I'm taking your plates now, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I heard something about a bow tie.
Yep. I'm going to tie it. You want to see?
Sure.
Yeah, he was teaching me how to tie a bow tie.
Watch carefully.
Okay.
Now. Right there. See, that's the, this is the tie part. This is the presentation part. Like this. Like. So there's a half knot, right? And this is the side that's going to show up front. Put this over the top. Hold onto the loop and pinch the knot with your other hand.
I lost them at the first.
I know, me too.
Round.
That's why magicians are so good. They can confuse you.
Oh, you're a magician too?
No. A bow tie magician. And then just kind of feel it in.
Oh, wow. Perfect. That looks great.
I couldn't even do like 1% of that when I just tried, so.
Now we'll have to learn again.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Practice.
I'll be right back.
35 years of practice or whatever it was. I mean, I've been wearing them since I was 12. Sort of.
So, yeah,
you've a long time.
Had a lot of practice.
67 now, yeah, so that's a long 55 years of tying bow ties. You get better at it. So don't give up.
Okay. I definitely will keep practicing.
Well, that was good.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. And very filling. And
yeah,
I don't feel like
I'm really full. No, exactly.
Yeah.
That's my problem. Is if I eat a heavy lunch, I just don't want to fall asleep. And that's, you know, the sugar and the carbs are just working on you, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to finish my okra recipe. So you chop the okra up, and your okra is gooey on the inside, right?
Yes,
and it's automatically sticky. Then you just take some yellow cornmeal and just throw it in the bowl with the chopped up, and just stir it around, and it coats the, you know, the cornmeal will stay on there. And then get a hot skillet, you know, a cast iron skillet with some coconut oil or something, or even bacon grease if you're into that.
Avocado oil, that's
It's a high temperature.
Yeah.
And so the key is to get it hot and just toss the okra in there and stir it around till the cornmeal browns. And you know, that's how you know it's ready. And the less you cook it, the better almost. Uh-huh. But get the cornmeal brown. So the hotter your skillet, and it comes out, and it tastes just like almonds. That's what it tastes like.
Really?
It takes on a nutty taste.
So you keep the okra with the...
With the cornmeal.
With the cornmeal, and then you eat it.
Yeah, and so like it, all the cornmeal all the cornmeal sticks onto the okra, you know, and so you just throw it in there. And it's kind of like, you know, a fried chicken crust, you know.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
And you can do it heavier or lighter. I just do it light, you know, just enough cornmeal to pick up the flavor. Because the cornmeal holds the flavors of the oil. And it just takes a real nutty, nice taste. It's just.
And then that's your snack.
Yeah, well, I eat it as a side vegetable dish, you know.
Oh, so,
you
know, just very interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
It works, but okra's so easy to grow, too.
So
yeah.
And I think it's a African food. There's so many foods that come from Africa. It's amazing.
With okra?
Oh, all foods. I mean, think of all the, like, chickens come from Africa, sweet potatoes.
We're just going to start breaking up. Did you used to dance?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about a little bit about yourself, and then I think after that we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
You guys will have to go get your flights.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're running out of time, actually. Yeah, okay, so I didn't know. You looked like you could be a dancer.
So I actually started dancing when I was 5 or 6 years old. Mm. It was more my mom's push. I think my mom loves dancing and wanted to always dance. So she started putting me in all these dance classes. And I developed this love and passion for dance. And I really wanted to be a dancer. However, my grandma was like, oh, I don't know, you know, if you're really going to be able to make a career out of it or if you're going to be amazing, maybe you should have a backup plan.
Right.
So I was like, okay, my backup plan is going to be being a doctor. Mm. And then once I started volunteering and rotating at the hospital, it became my number one plan. My number one goal was to be a doctor, but I continued dancing all throughout.
And what kind of dance?
I've trained in classical Indian dancing.
Oh,
so there's
cool.
About 8 to 10 classical Indian dances. I trained in about 2 of them. And I did ballet for a little while, and then as I got older, I would take, you know, hip-hop classes or jazz classes.
Cool.
Yeah, and then I went to undergrad at UCLA, and started one of the dance teams there with my two really good friends. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then as I got into med school, it became a little more difficult to find time to dance, so I started teaching dance to little kids at that time.
Oh, to the little kids.
Yeah, and then
awesome.
Now that I'm in New York City,
Thanks so much. I just wondered, that was really great. That was really lovely. It's just lovely to sort of get round out a little bit. I just wondered, and last thing I'm going to ask you to do is actually like dance. Don't worry. I was wondering, but in that sort of show and tell way, like I love the sort of like, it's really nice visuals for camera where you were doing the thing. So really, there's nothing you could like show well, but like just sat
Yeah.
Dance like, you know, something like that. Just kind of, just gets very visual and you could sort of like give it a go.
Okay.
It's just very sweet.
Okay. So, so you say you did two types. What? Show me an example.
Yes. Yeah, so I did two types of classical Indian dancing. Mm-hmm. One of them was Bharatanatyam, and the other one was called Kathak. And both of them used like a lot of hand gestures, a lot of facial expressions and eye movements, which probably is why I have a lot of facial expressions and movements. But very simple stuff. Like you can, like this was one of the hand gestures. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. This. Easy, right?
Well,
so these first two fingers.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm doing it wrong.
This way. We can do. We can just do this.